Good morning, and welcome to the Word of Grace broadcast ministry brought to you by St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Sherbrooke, Quebec. The first broadcast of the Word of Grace took place on January 28, 1969, with the founding minister, the Reverend Donald Campbell. We are now entering into our 51st year. We are grateful to God for the comfort and inspiration which so many have received from the broadcast over the years. Financial support for our radio ministry comes from listeners throughout Eastern Townships and beyond. We are grateful for the faithful support we have received. It is especially helpful to receive donations over the course of the year. Memorial donations given in memory of deceased relatives and friends may be made at any time. Our prayerful hope and expectation is that the broadcast will continue to be heard well into the future. Our mailing address is The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. Remember also that you can access the program at any time on the website of CJMQ, www.cjmq.fm.
It's Sunday, the 27th of November, 2022, and that makes it the first Sunday in Advent, and that means that Christmas is in just 4 weeks' time, and it's even on a Sunday this year. Isn't it remarkable how Christmas seems to sneak up on us? Christmas Day is on the same day every year, so how do we miss it? It's not like the advertisers haven't been reminding us about it since, what, October perhaps? And if that weren't enough, we even have calendars that are specifically designed to count down the days to Christmas Day. Advent is the period of countdown to Christmas, the festival of Christ's becoming flesh for us. In Advent, we remember that Christ did come, Christ has come, Christ comes, and Christ will come again. My name is Nigel Parker, minister of St. Andrew's Sherbrooke. Along with many other churches, we will be lighting the first of our Advent candles at our morning service at 10:30. You'll be very welcome to join us. We can't really do candles on the radio, but in heart and mind, in imagination and in faith, you might want to light a light this morning.
Just one little candle can shine through the night, a symbol of faith, a flame that keeps burning, that never stops turning the darkness away. Light a candle to start a new dawn. Let it be like a prayer, and together we'll shine. In a moment of time, we can share. Light a candle to start a new dawn. Life is forgiving for those who are living in love's ray of light. And life is for caring, so never stop sharing your beacon so bright. Light a candle to start a new dawn. Let it be like a prayer, and together we'll shine. In a moment of time, we can share. Light a candle to start a new dawn. We can unite the world from one tiny spark.
Isaiah spoke long before Christ of a hope that was coming. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as the highest of the mountains. It will be exalted above the hills, and all nations will stream to it. Many peoples will come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the temple of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, so that we may walk in his paths." The law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between the nations. He will settle disputes for many peoples. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war any more. Come, descendants of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you hold all our days in your hands and embrace us in your everlasting arms. In a tired and violent world, you are hope. In a hectic and busy world, you are peace. In a cold world, you are comfort. In Jesus Christ, you bring love into this world and call us to embody his love in all we do and say. This day we offer you our love and loyalty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In your mercy, forgive what we have been, help us amend what we are, and direct who we shall be, through the mercy of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Thank you that in him there is great mercy, grace to cover all our need. Trust in the hope that we are forgiven, and that with God, new things are possible. Amen. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24, at verse 36. But about that day or hour no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That's how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in a field, one will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill, one will be taken, the other left. Therefore keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Amen. Well, the first Sunday in Advent already. Candles in the churches. Only 4 weeks until Christmas. My, how time flies. The flying, or the passing of time, is the topic that Jesus spoke to his disciples in the passage I just read. His mortal life was drawing to an end, to be snuffed out in his crucifixion. Yet he takes the time to tell them about the end of time, about how to mark time, about how to keep time, with the way that time was going to go, indeed, how time as we know it was going to end. He spoke about a day that was coming, not a day that you can mark on a calendar or tick off on an agenda or a diary, but rather an event that would be the means by which all of time would be marked, even the coming, the return, the second advent of Jesus. I'm sure that if you scour the religious TV channels or peruse the media outlets, you will be able to find some preacher or other who will tell you that these are absolutely, definitely the very last final days before the return of Christ. They might point to the troubles in the world, the wars and rumours of wars, the pandemics and plagues that stalk the earth, and all kinds of supposed signs. Now, these things have always been with us, and they always remind us of the nearness, the imminence of Christ's return. But in the passage we read, there were three things that should steady us as we contemplate the day of the Lord, the coming of Christ. And the first is that it is a secret day, a secret day. In verse 36, we read that concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. Now, you would think that this would be sufficient warning for those who want to wrangle over being right about the timing of the last days. But here's the best reason for not wrangling about them. Because none of the books, articles, websites, or TV shows claiming to pinpoint the return of Christ will ever get it right. And I think that's for our own good, isn't it? I mean, just look at the way that we procrastinate about getting ready for Christmas, right? If we had the date marked on a calendar, this is the day that Jesus Christ is returning to judge the earth, everyone would be saying to themselves the same thing about that second advent that we say about Christmas. Oh, we've got plenty of time. But there's no time to be complacent. No time to put off the holiness and obedience that God calls us to, because that day is a secret day. We cannot know when he is coming back. The second thing to say is that it is a surprising day. Verses 37 to 39. For as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark, and they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Jesus compares the great flood story of Noah's time with the day of judgment that is coming when Jesus returns. And Jesus refers to the flood because the day of Jesus' return will be just like the day of the flood. It will come as a complete surprise. Jesus says that in Noah's day, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. In other words, they were just living their lives, focused on the now and not the future, the present and not the time to come. A bit like all our times, for we live in an age that is obsessed with the now times. There was no indication of that time that anything was going to happen. No terrible premonitions, no dark portents in the sky or rumblings of nature. There was nothing to indicate the catastrophe that was about to come upon them. Nothing to indicate that maybe that the wedding should be put off or that would affect their lives in any way. Except for the fact that Noah had been warning them about the coming of the flood for 100 years. Now, we all get on with our lives. But we all live in the shadow of Christ's warning that time has a finite time. There is an expiry date on time, that there is a day coming when all our days will end. But it will come as a surprising day. If it's a secret day and a surprising day, it's also a separating day. Matthew 24, verses 40-41. Two men will be in the field. One will be taken and one left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and one will be left. A separating of one from the other. Jesus says that when he returns to judge the earth, he will once and for all separate his people to himself, separate them from all the way of the world. They will be his forever. And he will send his angels with a loud trumpet call, says verse 31, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Jesus' second advent will be the day when he comes for his people to gather them out of this sorry, broken world once and for all. And it doesn't matter where they are or what they are doing, he will find them and gather them to himself. Jesus said, "If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." But if it's a day to be separated to God, then it is also a day of separation from God. We are warned that there is an eternal separation from God when God, who gives us over to the consequences of our own choices and our own wills. Those who live without God in this world must live without him in the day and the time and the world to come. That's the just judgment of God. But it is to save us from such judgment that Christ came. A little child, the Saviour came. "You shall call his name Jesus," says the birth narrative in Luke, "for he shall save his people from their sins." It's a secret day, a surprising day, a separating day. Every Advent that comes around is a reminder of that time that is coming. Not just of the 25th of December and Christmas Day, but the day of God when everything that is wrong will be dealt with and everything that gets put right. We live in this hope. That hope may seem like a flickering candle in the times we live in, but the light of that hope shines in the darkest places. When he comes on that secret, surprising, separating day, he will bring the joy of his presence and peace and life. And in the light of all that, it's no wonder that the Bible ends with the words that it does. "Come, Lord Jesus."
There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. There'll be no sorrow then, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no more pain, no more parting over there. Forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, when I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. But when he takes when I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. But when he takes me by the hand and leads me through that promised land, what a day, oh glorious day.
Let us pray. Surprising and steadfast God, in the anticipation of your coming, keep us awake so that we will see you at work in the world. We give you thanks for moments of joy and celebration in our lives, for times of excitement and surprise, for love given and received, for friendships that furnish our life with meaning and happiness, for family who can reflect your unconditional love. In all our relationships and encounters, allow us to see you in one another. We pray for the coming of your kingdom week by week. We pray for the nations, for all those who frame laws and shape societies, who are charged to keep the peace and administer justice, for leaders and governors who are faithful to their responsibilities. We pray for places where justice is twisted in the interests of the powerful and innocents suffer as a result. Move in the hearts and minds of leaders for the sake of justice and generosity, and so that people everywhere will experience freedom and have hope for their futures. We pray for those who are suffering this day, for those who are ill and for those who mourn, and for all who fear for the future and what it may bring. Surround them with your love, support them with your strength, and inspire the hope they need to face another day. We thank you for the hope that is born in us through Christ by your Holy Spirit. We thank you that through his death on the cross and his resurrection from the dead, we have a hope that sustains us through the worst of times and the most difficult of days. We rejoice in the hope of his coming again. And hear us now, as further we pray together in the words Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory for ever and ever. Amen.
Fallen o'er the earth on this winter night.
You've been listening to the Word of Grace broadcast ministry, brought to you each Sunday at this time by St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Sherbrooke, Quebec. Our church is located on Queen Street in Lennoxville. We have a strong tradition of service in this area. We continue to work for the advancement of Christ's kingdom. We honor the past and welcome the future by being faithful in the present. I encourage you to worship in a church of your choice, a place where you can grow in your faith and actively serve in the cause of Christ. Our prayer is that each church in our community will be blessed as we are faithful to God. Please consider supporting our broadcast with a financial donation. We rely upon your support. Tax receipts are issued for contributions. Our mailing address is The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec. The postal code is J1M1Z6. The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. Bye for now. Thanks for listening, and may God's blessing be with each one of us.